The reading for today is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 13. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 13. Let's hear God's word. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. That's God's word. We're continuing in this season, this sermon series on the Ephesian letter. And as we looked at last week, Paul's just explained the gospel. And then he begins in verse 7, of this gospel. So he's following on from what we looked at last week. And your three points are the humble apostle, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and the eternal purpose of God. The humble apostle, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the eternal purpose of God. Point 1, the humble apostle. Paul begins by ascribing his ministry and all his work to the grace of God. Verses 7 and 8, he says, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of God's saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Paul ascribes his entire ministry and calling to grace. Grace is God's undeserved favour. It's a gift from God that we don't deserve. Indeed, we could not deserve it, or we could not earn it. It's a gift. And this would be true of any of us. Paul says here, of this gospel I've been made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, as we've read. Paul acknowledges that he doesn't deserve to be called to the ministry. Paul admits that he doesn't deserve to preach Christ. You know, he says this, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Even Paul's act of preaching, he doesn't deserve to do it. He doesn't deserve to preach Jesus Christ. He doesn't deserve to take the name of Christ on his lips, and neither do any of us. The Lord Jesus Christ is altogether lovely, the fairest of the fair, holy, spotless and undefiled, the purest of the pure, the most glorious glory, the most beautiful beauty, all beauties and glories rolled into one is our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knows this. And Paul has the privilege of preaching him. And not only that, that would be enough. But remember, Paul says in verse 8, though I am the least of all the saints. Now any godly person will feel that. Indeed, it's one of the marks of growth in godliness that you become more humble. J.C. Ryle writes that in his classic Holiness. He says, those who are growing in holiness become more humble. They become less and less in their own sight. And remember, C.S. Lewis said, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Paul's engrossed with Christ in this passage. And we'll see that more and more as we go on. And indeed, that's the way to accomplish true humility, be engrossed with Jesus Christ. But indeed, many of the men in the Bible, when they were talking to God, Abraham called himself dust and ashes in Genesis 18. And that was when he was debating with God about Sodom. But he knew that before God, he was nothing, yea, less than nothing. and he could not plead any of his own righteousness, and neither could Paul. But add to this very thing, that Paul could say this in another sense. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was a persecutor of Jesus Christ and his people. And look, remember how we talked last week. We talked about Acts chapter 9, how Paul was on his way to Damascus, going down the Damascus road, ready to persecute God's people, ready to put them to death. Indeed, the first Christian martyr in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, was martyred, and Paul approved of his death. And remember, in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus says, "Whatever you do to the least of these my brothers, you do to me. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do to me." So whatever you do for the Christians, whatever you do against them, you do it for or against the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is God in the flesh. And Paul did that. Paul killed and wanted to kill and wipe out the Christian church, end it completely. And then he's converted. And not just converted, that would be a gift of grace. To have your sins forgiven and to be justified, to be adopted into the family of God, is an act of God's free grace. To be given a new heart, to be brought into the church and to grow in holiness, that's a work of God's free grace, undeserved favour. But Paul is exalted to the ministry of the apostles. Remember, they're the founding of the church. Most of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. And that is how God exalts those who are unworthy. That's the grace, the mercy, the kindness, the tenderness, the love of God. And indeed, we also see Paul's humility in verse 13. "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." The suffering saints who are engrossed with the Lord Jesus Christ can face great suffering. Indeed, I quoted it last week. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, in his sermons on the Beatitudes are the first dozen verses in Matthew chapter 5, where he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And he said, "How do you get strong for persecution or any type of suffering? It's get the knowledge of Christ. Know who he is, know what he's done, and you'll face anything. You will have the strength to face anything, because you'll say with Paul in Philippians 3, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ." Paul's greatest passion was to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in his suffering, in his imprisonment, remember, he's either in prison in Rome or on the way to Rome. And here he is, engrossed with Jesus Christ. So he's humble. He's humble, he knows his place, and he's completely submitted to the sovereign providence of God. God's overruling in everything. He doesn't get angry with God and say, "Look, I've preached for you. How dare you let this happen to me?" No. He submits to the tender, fatherly hand of Almighty God. That's a saint. That's a holy man. That's like his Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he preaches, and he preaches, point to, the unsearchable riches of Christ. He is engrossed with Jesus Christ, engrossed with him. May that be so with all of us. He proclaims Christ. Why does he proclaim Christ with such passion? Well, we've looked at it ever since you've come into this glorious letter. Christ, who he is, God in the flesh, and what he's done is unsearchably rich. He's God. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived the life that we should have lived, died the death that we deserve to die. Our sins was placed on him, and his righteousness is on us. And in Christ, non-Jewish people and Jewish people, slaves, free people, men, women, whatever divisions, they're all broken down and we're all one in Christ Jesus. And he creates the new humanity. A new humanity with the image of God restored and progressively made more and more like Jesus. And indeed, as we looked at last week, verse 9, this was a mystery hidden for ages in God. This what Paul's preaching is bringing to light for everyone, includes you, what was the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So this was God's plan. This was God's plan. As it says in Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world, that was what God was doing, which we looked at the Apostles' Creed. What was God doing before creation? He was delighting in his Son and planning to save through his Son the elect, such as the sovereign grace and the kindness of Almighty God. And what a plan he has in Christ to break down barriers, to lift up the humble and meek, to lift up the weak, the broken, and to lavish them with grace, with favour, with blessing, with forgiveness, with righteousness, with wisdom, with holiness, to make them his children, to make them his and his forever, and to give them new life by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. That's what God's done. And God continues to pour his mercy and his kindness and his tenderness on us through Jesus Christ. There's nothing God can't do for you in Christ. And God wants to bless you with every blessing in Christ. And God will bless you with every blessing in Christ. And indeed, look at your privilege, dear believer. Paul was privileged. He got to preach to non-Jewish people the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, you, my friend, are God's sermon to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Verse 10, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God hidden this in himself. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So all the heavenly powers were created when God created the heaven and the earth. But he didn't let them know this. This was his secret. The church is God's sermon to the angels in heaven. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, angels long to look at what God's done through Christ. Peter says, to get that full quote in, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The angels long to look. And they'll see it through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That God could take a people who'd rebelled against him, who hated him, who deserved only death, hell, and destruction, made them his own, and conformed them perfectly into the image of his Son, so that all glory goes to him forever. This is the wisdom of God. That's how Paul ends his 11th chapter in the Romans, how he expounds God's saving work through Christ, and he says, oh, the depths of the wisdom and the riches of the knowledge of God. All the depths and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Excuse me. That is what Paul says. Because this is how we'll see it, and we'll see it for, gloriously revealed forever and ever in heaven. It was hidden and now it's been made known. But it was, point three, God's eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Verses 11 and 12. That's what God has done for us in Christ. It was his eternal purpose to do that for us in Christ. It's been realized in Christ. That's what God has done. Christ is all in all. Christ is the center, the beginning and the end, and everything in between of all that God does. And that's God's eternal purpose, to exalt Christ, and through him, to save you and exalt you with him, and to receive all his kindness and his blessing. This was God's will. This was God's plan. This was God's decree. It's an eternal purpose. It's never changed. It never will change. And no one can stop this, because as the song goes, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Nations will bow down before him. The fire of his breath will make them all disappear. He is over everything. He is the glorious Lord. And this was his purpose. And look at the privileges of the Christian. Again, we are the ones who will make everything known. But look at this. In whom, Jesus, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Our faith in Jesus Christ is us just clinging to him. It's nothing to boast about. So we're not boasting about our faith. You know, a drowning man doesn't boast that he got hold of the life ring and that somebody pulled him on into the boat to save him. He thanks the person who saved him. He boasts in the grace of the person who saved him. He doesn't boast in his ability to hold on to the life ring. But our faith, that holding to Christ, gives us a boldness, not because of us, but because of what he's done. Because of what he's done. And we have confidence because of what he's done. It's all about him. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender. So what? So what are we going to do? What difference should this make to our lives today? Well, Paul's humility teaches us to be humble. Yes, we are sinners. God has given us grace. And like Paul, we should submit to the providence of God. We do this by realizing what we deserve from God. We do this by realizing how much God has blessed us. And we do this by knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And a few verses, Romans 8:28, and a few verses on from that, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So every privilege and blessing is yours through Christ. And that too should humble us. It's not, as I said, to quote Lewis, it's not lacerating ourselves verbally, telling us how rubbish we are. That's not what humility is. That's pride, actually. It's focusing on ourselves. So be humble. Know how much God has blessed you. Know how much he's given you in Christ. Know how much he has loves you in Christ. The second application, keep your eyes fixed on Christ. He is the fulfillment of the eternal purpose of God. He is the one who reveals the unsearchable riches, who has unsearchable riches. He is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He is the one who suffered and was humbled. And he's the one who's exalted to the right hand on high. And you'll be exalted with him. So keep your eyes fixed on him. That's the only way to grow in humility, is to focus on Christ. To see all the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And to see him as he is. And finally, rejoice. Rejoice. This is the plan of God. And don't live below your privileges, my dear friend. Look at the privileges and the blessings that we have. We have boldness to go before God. And by boldness, it doesn't mean impudence. It means holy, humble confidence. Like a child and his dad, a good dad inspires confidence in his children. Yes, there's that reverence for your father, but there's that knowledge that your father, the father loves him. And so the child is confident to sit on his lap and tell him everything. Even when we're going through hard times. And so Jesus has given us this beautiful promise in Christ. Jesus has given us this beautiful, in himself rather, excuse me. Jesus has given us all this. Jesus, and indeed we too, like Paul, but forever and ever in the church, will make known the manifold wisdom of God forever. That's what you are, my dear friend. Believing, afflicted, troubled friend, if you're going through hard times, as like Paul has in this passage, fix your eyes on Jesus and know what your destiny is. Know who your Saviour is, and know what you will be doing forever. You'll be revealing the wisdom, the majesty, the glory, and the eternal purpose of God to all the angels of heaven. You will be God's sermon to heaven, and you'll be praising God forever and ever, because this gospel, which Paul was the minister of, is about the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that's what we'll be singing about, that's what we'll be gazing on forever and ever and ever. God bless.